Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
Dear Mom, we spent a lot of time together lately. We got to go to work with you every day, and we took you to school too.
You guys, I'm on a call.
You let us wear whatever we want, whenever we want. And we ate like kings. You've always done a lot. But this past year, we got to see it all up close. And being close to you was my favorite part. Thanks for being the best mom ever. Happy Mother's Day.
We have church online and seven campuses joining us. We give a big happy Mother's Day welcome to you guys. So glad you're here.
Ladies, mamas, we honor you today. Your wisdom, your love, your sacrifice. We love you and we thank God for you. And today we have a very special treat for everyone.
We have a very special guest in the house. Now, before we reveal that, I want to let you know, next Sunday we're kicking off a brand new series I'm really excited about. It's called Storyteller. It's about the parables of Jesus. You know, whether it's, you know, miniseries or movies, we all love kind of streaming great stories. What do you like to stream?
Well, I just finished, it's called The New Look, but nobody in the past two services knew it.
The New Look, it's
so
on
I was
Apple.
Trying to come up with something new.
What's it about?
Reacher, maybe Reacher?
You
anybody?
Just like
Reacher?
Alan Richson.
No.
He just likes Alan Richson, you know, come on there. Jesus was a master storyteller, and he really told some incredible short stories. That's what a parable is, just a short story with a twist that kind of leads and opens up into some spiritual insight and wisdom. So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be exploring the parables of Jesus. And I'm going to kick it off next Sunday with a parable you may never have heard preached before. So make sure you come, invite a friend. We're going to learn about the scandalous power of God's amazing grace. But today we got a special treat.
We do. We do. I don't know if you've heard, but Michael Jr. is in the house.
All right. Very excited.
Michael and his wife, Ebony, are here and have blessed us this weekend, and I cannot wait for you to hear their message.
We're so grateful. Michael and his wife, Ebony, flew in from Texas for our date night experience last night, and we said, hey, could you stay and speak on Mother's Day? And he said, yes, as long as you treat my wife to dinner. So there you go, Ebony. That's going to work. But I remember the first time I saw Michael Jr. on, I think it was a Tonight Show or Jimmy Kimmel, I thought, man, wouldn't it be awesome if we had him at church someday? Well, today is the day, church.
Woo!
Michael Jr. headlines events around the world. You may recognize him from movies like War Room and Selfie Dad, but most importantly, he's a man of vibrant faith in Jesus Christ. He really has an incredible story of God's redemption and grace in his own life. So sit back, relax, get ready to laugh and learn. Liquid Church, would you give a big old Jersey welcome to Michael Jr.? Come on out, my friend. We're so grateful for you.
All right. You're awesome, thank you, dude. Friend. Thank you so much. Tim, you're awesome, man. That's a great pastor. I don't know how he got her, but everything else lines up. Great dude. Offered to take me out to eat. What was that place he was going to take me? Hooters. That's what it was. Yeah. He went by himself. I didn't go. It's not true. None of that is true at all. This is a good church. There's some really great people here, like for real, in case you didn't know. In case you're just here visiting, I just want you to know that's the case. When I was a kid, going to church was illegal. Like, laughing in church was illegal. You couldn't laugh in church. I remember one time, I was 7 years old, my grandmother took me to this church. I couldn't stand going to church. But she took me to this church, I laughed one time. This lady was jumping around and her wig fell off. Yo, I cracked up laughing. Then my grandmother would pinch and twist. I can understand a pinch, you gonna twist? That's the devil right there. That's what I was thinking, that's the devil. Church was so scary, like it was miserable. Church lasted 6 hours. And I had these shoes that were too small. These shoes were, my shoes didn't fit. And my grandmother had this thing called a shoehorn. So now if your foot don't fit, now it do. And my toes just balled up for 6 hours. And every Sunday I would wear this shirt that was so tight. It was a white and brown shirt. It was so tight. Actually, it was just white. But the buttons were so tight that people thought it was white and brown until they got close. He's like, oh. I didn't like church at all. One time I went to church, there's a dead body in the front. Nobody explains to a 7-year-old Michael Jr., this is a funeral, it's not church. I'm thinking, yo, that's how they roll, right? Like every few weeks or so, they bring a dead body in as an example or something. And the dude on stage would yell at us like we did it. I asked my grandma, I was like, Grandma, what happened to the man in the box? What happened to that man in the box? Her entire explanation was, he in a better place. I'm like, what kind of box did he live in before? Never understood it. It didn't make sense to me. Now we get to laugh at church. It's going to be so cool. And this morning, it's going to be a little different. I want to first off say, because my mom's is probably watching, I love you. Oh, I love my mom. And there's another mom that I like, a grip. This woman decided to be a mom alongside of me when I was a single dad of three. My amazing wife, Ebony. I love you. I love you. We got five kids, and then we got five grandkids. We have five great-grandkids. We have five great-grandkids. I'm just playing. We only got five grandkids. Can anyone really have great-grandkids? I mean, you got to meet the kids before you can call them great, right? You got to be like, ah. So here's what's going to happen today. Normally, a communicator will get up on stage, and he'll communicate and tell some stories, and he'll tell you what scripture goes with the stories. We're going to do something a little different. Have you ever noticed how sometimes your mom has the ability to tell you what to do even when she's not there? She's not even there. You just know your mama. You can hear your mom's voice. You better not touch that. You can just hear it. You can hear it. It's kind of what we're going to do today to some degree. So normally a communicator gets on stage, he talks a little bit, and he tells you some stuff, and then he'll share some scriptures with you. That's what normally happens. But what I'm going to do today is a little different. I'm not going to share any scriptures with you. We're going to do something different. So let me pause first and say, I want you to think about your story. I want you to think about your story or a part of your story that you may not be that excited about. Something that happened, something that didn't seem great at the time, or something that's just a little uncomfortable. Exactly. Good job. That baby got one immediately. That's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a couple seconds. I want you to actually think about that part of your story. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could hear God's voice in the midst of a story like that in your life? That would be amazing. Like if you're in the midst of the story, you could hear his voice and recognize his glory in the midst of your story. That'd be awesome. I want you to know that you actually can. Like you can actually do that. And the way I'm going to show you how you can do that is we're actually going to practice it right now in this service. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell two stories from my life. I wrote a book called Funny How Life Works. And in that book is 26 stories from my life. Today I'm going to share two of those stories with you. But while I share these stories, what I want you to do is to listen to the story, and I also want you to pay attention to you. What I mean by that, I'll tell my story. But then God has a way of speaking to people in the midst of a story where his word will come to you in the midst of me talking. And so then when the story's over, I'm going to ask the question and look for the person who has some scripture that they want to share based off that story. Some scripture that just came up. We're going to bring you the microphone and you're going to share the scripture and bless the room. Just the scripture, though. I don't want the whole story. So when I was a kid, this is what happened, and then my dad said, no, I just want the scripture. So, here's the first story. The really amazing part about this first story, I wonder if I should just tell it and then let you know where it was at. This first story, part of it actually took place in New Jersey. In fact, in Orange, New Jersey, which I think is like 15 miles from here, so West Orange, that's where the story took place. I didn't realize it until I got here. I was like, oh, snap, this is the place. So I grew up in Michigan, and I started doing comedy in Michigan, and I'm enjoying doing comedy, but now I want to know for sure if I'm funny or not. Like, the Midwest is cool, but I felt like I need to move to New York, because in New York, if you're not funny, the way they let you know is they'll say something like, you're not funny. So I moved to New York. Now, in the Midwest, if you do a comedy show, they pay $100 a show. On average, you get $100 a show. I moved to New York. There's a lot of comedians in New York, or people who want to be comedians, so you get paid $9 a show. If you don't want that $9, they'll take the next person in line. $9. I didn't know that till I got here. So it wasn't long before I couldn't afford my apartment anymore. Had to move apartments, and I got a new one. It was, the address was 1997 Chevy Lumina Drive. It was a four-door apartment on the east side of the street. I was living in my car for those people who just woke up from being at the club last night. So I'm homeless, living in my car. Here's what my day would look like. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, probably every 42 to 47 minutes, to start the car up to stay warm at night. Now, I had a comforter that I took from the Marriott, and I was using that comforter for a while. I did return it a few years later. It looked different when I returned it. But it would get cold at night, so I'd have to start the car to stay warm. I normally get up every morning at 6 a.m., but I had to teach myself to not get up until 11, because there was a sub shop that had these foot-long meatball subs. It was the most amount of food I can get for the least amount of money, but they didn't open until 11. And I didn't want to be hungry from 6 to 11, so I trained myself to stay asleep in my car up until that point. So then I would get the sub, and I would cut it in half, and I'd eat the first half immediately. Then I'd save the second half for dinner, and that's all I would eat the whole day. So I'm in my car, and I don't have enough money to live in New York City, and I don't have enough money to leave New York City. So I'm just stuck, and I'm doing shows, and I performed at the Comic Strip Live, and this comedian named George Wallace walks in. Very established comedian. One of my favorite jokes that he does, he says he was in China, he bought a pair of shoes, he looked at the bottom of it, and it said, "Made right around the corner." And I love George Wallace, he's very established. He comes in and he sees my comedy set, and he said, "You're funny and you're clean. I'd like for you to do a show with me and my best friend." And I'm pumped and excited. In fact, I'm so excited, I never asked if he was gonna pay me, because this is a great opportunity. I have to seize this opportunity no matter what. So I said, "Yes, I'll do the show," and I'm excited. He gives me the information. So I go back, and I got to do the math to make sure I have enough gas to get to the show. So I'm sitting down in my den, passenger seat, the glove compartment down. And I start doing the math, and I figured I'd have about $2.20 remaining if I did the show and they didn't pay me any money, which was fine. I'd had another show probably 3, maybe 4 days after that. I just have to work it out. This is a great opportunity. But then as I'm sitting there doing the math, I was like, snap. I realized the show is in New Jersey. You guys know what that means. If I come here and they don't pay me, there's a tow charge to get back. And it was more than $2.20. So if I went to New Jersey, I would just be in New Jersey if they didn't pay me any money. And at this point in my life, I can't pray. I don't know anything about God. I know nothing about Jesus. I don't know how to pray. So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm just going back and forth in my head. I'm like, I don't know. So finally, I just decide I'm just going to go. Maybe they'll pay me something. I don't know. So I drive over here, and I park way down the street from the club. The club was called Rascals Comedy Club. That's what it was called. So I park way down the street, and I'm walking up to the club, and when I get to the front door, there's this big bouncer dude, this big, swollen black dude. Like, he's like, he had all this bass. He was like, "Can I help you?" And he had a gold chain on. He had so much bass, when he would talk, the chain would rattle. He was like, "Can I help you?" And I don't know what happened, but it seemed like his bass took mine away. I was like, "Yeah, George Wallace has said I could come here and do some jokes. I'm Michael Jr." He was like, "Oh, yeah, Michael Jr." And he opened the door for me. There was something so powerful in that moment about someone saying my name and opening the door. I can't even explain. So I walk into this club, and there's all these beautiful people, just like today. I walk in, there's all these people. And the thing I noticed the most, and this will seem strange to you, but the thing I noticed the most is, like, they had silverware. I hadn't realized to that moment how long it had been since I'd seen silverware. And I'm just kind of like, oh, snap, I've really been away for a while. So I look in the green room, and there's George Wallace. His best friend is Jerry Seinfeld. So we did 2 shows, and I got 2 standing ovations. I rip. I'm like, yes, this is awesome. Now the show's over, and George Wallace is gone, right? He leaves, and Seinfeld's not there, and nobody's giving me any money yet. And I don't know who's supposed to give me some money, if at all, so I'm just kind of hovering a little bit, and I don't see anybody. Then I notice the manager. We make eye contact, and he starts walking to me, and I'm like, yes, he must be the one that's going to pay me. And I'm thinking, what do they pay over here in New Jersey? Like, I don't know what they pay. Like, is it $10 a show? I did two shows, I'm gonna get $20. What if it's $20 a show? I don't know anything about New Jersey. I tried to pump gas in my own car at the time. That didn't work. So I'm sitting here thinking, and then the manager walks up to me and says, hey, Michael, you have some great sets, really funny stuff. I was like, oh, thanks, man. Then he said, let me ask you a question. I'm like, yeah? And then he said, would you like to go to church with me this weekend? And I'm thinking, church? Man, back up, you're making my feet hurt. I don't want to go to church. In my mind, I'm thinking, why would he invite me to church? What's he talking about? Now listen, I did actually have a very short thought of back up, you're making my feet hurt. I just want to pause for a second. Why would I have such a thought? If you were here last night, you would understand this a little bit to a degree. When I went to church, my shoes were three sizes too small. So my brain had associated church with pain. Therefore, whenever someone would approach me with the Bible, I'd immediately have a negative neural association that I wasn't even aware of and be like, nah, I'm good, I don't wanna do that. How many people here in this room or watching at one of the other campuses may have some sort of negative neural association attached to what God wants to do because somebody else did something? Let me jump back into the story. So he asked me if I wanna go to church. I was like, nah, I'm cool, man. I'm good, I don't wanna go to church. And this dude just walks off. Like, he don't give me no money. Now I don't know what I'm supposed to do because I have no place to go. But I feel like I should leave because I'm starting to get emotional and I don't want to just be, I don't want to start crying in this club. So I go to the bathroom, right, because the one in my apartment doesn't exist. And I got some peanuts off the counter. I got some peanuts off the counter because I'm trying to figure out what I'm about to do. And I'm getting all emotional in the bathroom, but I'm like, I don't want to cry in this club, so let me get out of here, right? I feel the emotions even now, right? So I walk out of the bathroom and there's this woman. I don't know if you've ever seen a movie where the woman shows up and she's like beautiful. Like she's beautiful, like she, like the lights are on her, there's music playing, her hair blowing in the wind. But it was a black woman, so it wasn't blowing that much. It was just going like this. This woman was beautiful. She pales in comparison to my wife now, but I didn't have a wife back then. She was beautiful. And she told me she was the manager's fiance. I thought she said she was Beyonce. She was beautiful. She had this accent. She said to me, Michael Jr., would you like to go to church with us? Now listen, let me pause for a second. There's only two reasons you do anything in life. There really is. Compare this to any choices you make today. There's only two reasons you do anything in life, to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. That's it. It's just those two reasons. So she asked me the question, Michael Jr., would you like to go to church with us? I was like, I was just looking for a church the other day, man. It's crazy. It's crazy you should ask, as a matter of fact. Wow. So she takes this napkin. She gets a napkin and writes the address to this church on it. She hands me the napkin and she just floats off. But she was beautiful, right? And I look at the napkin. It's a New York City address. I can't go to New York. I don't know where I'm going after I leave these footprints I'm in. But I know I need to leave this club now. And I got all these emotions coming back up and I'm trying to get out of there. So I grab all my stuff and I leave the door and I'm walking out. And I'm about to cry. So I want to hurry up and get to my car. But before I can start speeding up a little bit, I hear a voice. Yo, Mike Jr. It's the big bouncer dude. I turn around, look at him, and I can see in his eyes that he has more respect for me now. I can't explain it, but I could just see that there's more respect there. And we're approaching each other, and I can tell we're about to slap hands. Like, black people, we just know when it's going to happen. I know some of my white friends, you got to announce it first. Like, high five, buddy. Like, we don't. That's not necessary. That's not what we got to do, right? So I could tell this is going to be a big slap, right? And the dude, it's going to be loud and probably big, so I'm kind of bracing myself a little bit. And I'm coming in, and we slap, but it's not that loud. It's powerful, but not loud. And the reason it's not loud as I'm bringing in for the half hug is because he's exchanging some money into my hands. And he said, George Wallace said to give you a little something, something. And now all of my emotions are coming up from before, and now my eyes are starting to water, but I'm still hugging this big dude, and I don't want him thinking, yo, you the one. Like, that's, I don't want that, right? So I'm blinking on fast, trying to dry up my tears, and I pull back, and he's like, George Wallace said to give you a little something, something. That's what he said. And I didn't look, because apparently that's a rule. You can't look right away. I said, oh, thanks, man. I grab my stuff. I start walking to my car, and here come these emotions again, and I'm getting in my car. I get in there and I put my stuff on the passenger seat and I'm sitting in my car and All these emotions are coming up. My eyes are all, everything's all blurry. And the first sound I hear as I open my hands is my tears crashing down on $200 bills. And I'm done. Like, I'm done. The next thing I see is a napkin on the passenger seat with an address to a church. And I went to that church. And then 36 days later, I gave my life to Jesus. What scripture came up for you? Raise your hand. All right. And keep your hand up if you have one as well.
Hi, everyone. So the scripture that came up for me while you were speaking was 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
So here's my request. This is what takes place when I do this. This is what takes place right now. God will speak to us through his scripture when someone reads it. And you'll feel it. Like, you will feel it. And what happens is a lot of times we don't want to feel that feeling, so we try to make a lot of noise. So I'm going to ask you not to clap after the scripture is read. I just want you to pay attention to what God is saying to you. All right, what we got?
I may be misquoting this, so Lord forgive me, but...
I'm not the Lord.
The idea for... don't worry for anything, and then also don't worry about, think about today, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own.
Awesome, awesome. All right, where are you at, Mac?
The scripture that came to my mind was Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit.
How is it possible that I'm telling you my story and you're finding all this glory in it? How is that possible? It's because there's glory in your story as well. You just have to listen for his voice. All right.
Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose.
All right, let's go right here.
Thank you. Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible.
Awesome. She found your scripture. The lady in the back was like, I don't know if I'm quoting it right.
There's no mistake that that happened.
Praise God.
That was God talking.
Praise God. Okay. How is that possible that you guys are finding so much glory from my story? So now, my plan is now to leave New York, because New York was expensive. I couldn't afford New York, it was expensive. So I'm feeling like I'm supposed to move to California. So in California, my cousin lives there, and he said if I could get to his house, I could live on his couch. And I feel like I'm supposed to go to California. And I don't have enough money to get to California, but I booked a show in Chicago. It was at Zany's Comedy Club, and they were going to pay me $475 to do a show at Zany's. I was going to use that for food and gas to get to my cousin's couch. So all of that works. I got just enough money to get to Chicago. I stack it up. I just get 6-inch subs. Like, we just work it out. I get there, and on the way there, my brakes start to grind. I take my car to the shop, and they said it's going to be $465 to fix your car. I don't have $465. I don't have any money left. So I had to go to the comedy club and ask for an advance. And it gave me my money up front, and I had to use it to get the brakes fixed. Now I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know Jesus now, so I start to pray. I'm like, God, you did some stuff. I read it because but I don't know how this is going to work. Like, it can't, like, I can't see how it's going to work. I can't see it, but I'm still praying. Maybe you can't see it, but keep praying. So I'm praying, and I'm like, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. The only possibility of making any money is I used to sell T-shirts at my show. On average, I would sell one shirt per show. I did 4 shows already. I sold 3 shirts. I'm below average. We only got 1 show left. Like, this isn't going to work. And I'm thinking, I'm like, God, I know what's going to happen, right? I'm going to go in this club, and it's going to be packed full of rich people. That's what's going to happen. This is what's going on in my mind. And I walk in, and there's 26 drunk people. And I'm like, God, I don't, like, and you would think, why don't you just go back to Michigan? That's where you're from. I knew if I went back home, my career would end there. I knew that would happen. I felt like that's what would take place. So I get there, and there's 26 people in the room, and I'm bringing the best show I can. Not because I'm trying to get some, like, there's, I'm thinking this is going to be my last show. So I get up on stage, and I bring the best show I can, and now it's time for me to pitch these T-shirts. And I grab the T-shirt, and I hold it up, and I get ready to talk about the shirt, and I get heckled by this drunk dude in the back of the room. How much for that crappy shirt? This is what he said to me. And I didn't know what to say. All doing all this cussing and all that. How much for that crappy shirt? I was like, for you, $50. But it was a $10 shirt, but I didn't know what to say to him. And then the crowd laughed a little bit. Then I looked at him, and I just went on and finished up my, and I finished with my big joke. I used to do this joke about being in a nice neighborhood like Beverly Hills. And I start jogging to get to my car. And then this white lady comes around the corner about 20 feet in front of me. Now we're jogging in the same direction. Then she looked back. And she started jogging faster. So I look back too. I ain't saying anything back there, but if a white woman's scared of it, Michael Jr. is scared of it too. So I finish up with that big joke, and then I go to set up my T-shirts. And I set up my T-shirts, and then people just start walking by, like 15 people walk by. They don't even notice me. And then this white lady, I will not forget her. She walks up to me, and she waits and purposely makes eye contact with me. And she said, she looks at me, and she says, "You are so worth it." That's what she said to me. And then she gave me some money for a shirt. And then I go get change for her because she gave me like a $50 bill. So I go to the waitress to get change, and I come back, and she's gone. But I need to find her because this is only a $10 shirt. It's like it's only $10. But before I can go find her, there's another couple there, and they want 2 shirts, and they gave me $100. Then another dude bought a shirt. I sold 13 shirts for $50 each. And God said to me in that moment, he said, "If you trust me," he said, "if you trust me, I got you." The other thing he showed me is God used the heckler in my life to get me where he wanted me to be. Sometimes your heckler is confirmation that you're doing the right thing. If you don't have any hecklers in what you're doing, you may not be doing what God called you to. What scriptures showed up for you? Let's go with this young lady right here in the back, yeah, with the brown shirt on. You got to keep your hand up so they can see you, though. Yeah. What you got?
Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
All right. All right, I am thinking, hello, Michael. I'm thinking of Matthew 6:28, when Jesus tells us not to worry. He says, "Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor worry nor stress, but even King Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like these lilies."
All right, go ahead.
Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future."
I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. He knew the plans he had for me. Plans to not just get me as far as Chicago, but to get me to all the way to California, to my cousin's couch. The same couch I sat on, and I watched a sermon. And I was like, "That's a nice church. I think I want to go to that church." And me and my cousin went to that church. And while I'm at that church, I meet this woman. We got these five kids. We were on the stage last night, and we're touring the whole country, helping marriages. He knew the plans that he had for me, and he knows the plans that he has for you. We'll do one more.
From Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
You should have scripture coming up right now. If you don't, you should probably read the Bible some more. Yeah, if all you got is country music jumping up, whatever you put into your heart will be revealed in your walk. So, the key is to hear his voice. How is it possible to really hear his voice? Is that even a thing? So me and my wife were looking at some old videos of our youngest daughter being born. We came across this video. Now, this video I'm about to show you, I took the video, but I didn't understand the power of it until I watched the video. Like, I didn't understand it until I watched it just like you're about to watch it. So let me set it up for you. At the time, our daughter is like 2.5 minutes old, right? They got her under the little chicken warmer, the little thing to keep the french fries warm. I don't know what kind of insurance we have, but that's what they got her under. And then the nurse is about to clean her up, and she starts to cry. I want you to notice what happens when she hears my voice. Okay, Portland, look, I'm right here. It's okay. I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay, I'm right here. Yeah, it's okay, baby. Yo, that was pretty powerful. Now it's like 7 and a half minutes or so later. The nurse is done cleaning her up, and she starts to cry again. I speak up, and she stops crying again. But I want you to notice what happens when I tell her I love her. Portland, it's okay. It's good. I'm right here. I am right here. I love you. Yeah, I'm right here. It's okay. So listen, there will be times in life where you feel like it's just too hard to find the glory, to find his glory in your story. The key thing to do in those moments is to be still and listen for the Father's voice. Listen for his voice through his word, because he is talking to you. And what he wants you to know is he's right here. He loves you. All you have to do is open your eyes. You hear some music? Yeah, not yet, bro. You too early. You're getting us emotional. It's not time yet. I got one more story I need to tell. I thought that was the Lord. No, it's that dude right there. It's him. Okay, so let me tell one more story. But this story, I don't want you to do any work on it. I just want you to listen to this story. You don't have to find the scripture. I just want you to listen. This is a story about having a relationship with Jesus. And the way I came up with this story is I was writing a joke about the good room. How many people in here or at the other campus, raise your hand if you know what the good room is. So there's only like a few hands going up here, but truth is mostly all of you actually do know. I just need to explain it to you a little bit first. The good room is that room in your grandmother's house or your aunt's house or maybe your house. It's that one room that's better than the rest of the house. Can't nobody go in there. It's plastic on the furniture. It's really just for looks. How many people know what the good room is now? Raise your hand. Exactly. So I'm writing this joke about the good room, and in the middle of writing this joke, God stops me and tells me to tell this story to his people instead. So I'm going to tell you the story. Now would be a good time to jump in, bro. You're going to be... He was early and late. That is amazing. So I want you to imagine in the story, I want you to imagine that you are a house. This is a story about having a relationship with Jesus. Imagine that you're a house, and I'm talking to you guys and at the other campuses and online as well. And outside of the house is Jesus Christ. And he wants to come in, but he'll never force his way in. He wants you to invite him in. And the reason some people here right now haven't invited Jesus into the house is because you're cool with the way things are right now. So it would seem. Whenever you need something, you just walk up to the door, crack it open, say a little prayer, tell them what happened, and you close the door and you go back into the house. But that's not a relationship at all. How can you hear his voice under those circumstances? How can you really find the glory in your story under those circumstances? And the reason you won't let him into the house is because your house is a mess. Or you think you need to clean it up just a little more first. How's that working out for you? There may be drugs in the house or pornography, or you're being extra busy running around doing all of this stuff, trying to stay distracted from the things that are out of place. Or relationships. You brought other people in the house, hoping that maybe they could help you clean it up. But they can't. The only one who can clean it up is standing outside the door wearing an apron with a bucket in his hand, waiting on you to truly open the door. Then there's other people in here right now. You used to have Jesus in the whole house. But whether you realize it or not, you've moved him to just one room in the house, the good room. Have you ever noticed how the good room, most of the time, is the one right up front with the big window? So when people look in, they think the whole house is clean. But it's not. It's just that one room. So when they hear about you coming to church, they think the whole house is clean. But it's not. It's just that one room. You quote scripture, but it's just that one room. You give money, but it's just that one room. You got a Bible on your phone, but it's just that one room. Jesus wants access to the whole house. And I'm telling you, if you would just open this door and let him in, he'll show up with a contractor named the Holy Spirit. And they will make sure the house is fully functioning the way it was intended to. But none of this happens if you don't open the door. Because he will not. He will never force his way in. He wants you to invite him in. So for everyone in here, if you could just close your eyes and bow your head. If you're in here right now and you know this is you and you need to invite Jesus into your house, whether it be for the first time or to give him full access to your house again, I'm asking you to do something really simple. On a count of three, I just simply want you to put your hand in the air. Don't overthink this, but if this is you and you need to invite Jesus into your house for the first time or to give him full access again, on a count of three, just simply put your hand in the air. Hands are already going up. One, two, three. Nice and high, nice and high. Praise God. Two hands. I see you, bro. All right, go ahead and put your hands down and then look up at me. First of all, let me say this. I am proud of you. I'm going to say that again because there's some people in the room who have never heard that phrase from a father's voice. So I'm going to repeat that phrase so you can receive it from a father's voice. I am proud of you. I am proud of you. I am proud of you. This isn't just for the people who raised their hand. I am proud of you. 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 Just receive it. I am proud of you. I am proud of you. I am proud of you. I'm proud of you. Good job. Now, Jesus says this, if you take a stand for me before men, I will take a stand for you before my Father in heaven. So what that's going to look like right here on earth and the other campuses and even the people watching the line, everyone who raised their hand and even those who should have raised their hand, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and remain standing so we can pray together. When you raised your hand, it was like you were reaching for the doorknob to the house. Notice how tall, notice where the doorknob is in this situation. It's because you're coming to him like a child. But when you stand up, it's like you're blowing a door open so Jesus can come and have residence in your house. So again, this is for everyone who raised their hand, and even those who should have raised their hand. On the count of three, I want you to stand up and remain standing. And to help with that, everyone around you, they're going to applaud as loud as they can. But it will not compare to the applause that the angels in heaven will be doing when you stand to your feet and remain standing. One, two, three. Just stand up. So remain standing. Praise God. Praise God. If you're standing up, just receive the applause of the people around you. Don't clap if you're standing. Don't clap if you're standing. Just receive the applause of the people around you. I see you, bro. I see you, man. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Keep standing, because we're about to pray. There's like four people in the room who are still sitting down who should be standing. I don't know, like, this is what you always do. This is your time to get up. This is your time to stand. Awesome. Praise God. This is your time. Praise God. You always do this, don't you? Awesome. So we're going to do a prayer together. And then they're going to bring out a white dude to make it official. That always happens too. I don't know why that got to be the case, but it's going to happen. Watch. We're laughing in the middle of a life-changing moment. God is different than you think. People think you shouldn't laugh at church. What good father doesn't want to hear his children's laughter in his house? So, we're going to pray. I'm going to say the prayer out loud. I want you to repeat this prayer in the privacy of your heart. If you're in this room and you couldn't stand for some reason, I want you to pray this prayer as well in the privacy of your heart. Dear God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for me. Thank you that he rose again on the third day for me. Thank you that I'm forgiven for all of my sins, for every sin. I believe it and I receive it. Come into my house, come into my heart, and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.